Voice of Indonesia。
Let's move on to July. On July 3rd, Indonesian government through its cyber body and National Encryption Agency signed cyber cooperation with Dutch government. In a joint press statement with Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in Jakarta, Dutch Foreign Minister Stefanus Abraham Blok said that cybersecurity cooperation of Indonesia and Dutch is a medium for capability development.
We agreed to launch a bilateral cyber dialogue to discuss ways of enhancing capability, to share experiences about cyber legislation and protecting vital cyber infrastructure.
Besides Minister Marsudi and Minister Blok also discussed discrimination against palm oil by European Union. Minister Retno asked the Dutch as one of the European Union members to support Indonesia in facing discrimination against palm oil, a top export commodity of Indonesia. While on July 4th, President Joko Widodo explained ways to overcome stunting in children with technological support, private sector and civilians' involvement. That was said by the President at Bogor Palace, West Java, during a courtesy call with World Bank President Jim Yong Kim. On July 23rd, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with her Malaysian counterpart, Saifuddin Abdullah, in Jakarta. The European Union's black campaign against palm oil was one of many concerns in the discussion. After the meeting, Minister Retno said, Indonesia and Malaysia will keep cooperating although the trialogue between the two countries and European Union had ended. Previously, Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad said to President Joko Widodo that the two countries need to cooperate for palm oil, since Europe's accusations that its products damage the environment is untrue. Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad believes Europe's negative campaign against Indonesian and Malaysian palm oil is for business. On the same day, House of Representatives Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Body Head Nur Hayati Aliasugaf invited Parliament in South Pacific Asia to exchange views and to find common solution for international issues faced in the region. That was stated by Nur Hayati during the opening of Indonesia-Pacific Parliamentary Partnership in Jakarta on July 23rd to 24th.
As we are aware, the objective of this meeting it is to promote better linkage. Therefore, we must embrace topics that are in the interest of our mandate as the representative of the people. After carried consideration, the committee under my leadership has decided on three topics under the umbrella of prime them, human development and maritime sustainability.
Nur Hayati said the session discussed the development of natural and human resources in the Pacific, blue economy and capacity building. Indonesia hosted the event, which was attended by 13 parliamentary delegates of 14 countries in the Pacific. We move on to July 26. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi mentioned the importance of intensifying economic cooperation of Indonesia and South Korea, especially industrial cooperation in facing global economic turbulence. That was stated by Minister Retno to South Korean Foreign Minister Kang Kyung-hwa in a bilateral meeting in South Korea. Both ministers agreed the importance of using various chances from special strategic partnerships agreed by President Joko Widodo and President Moon Jae-in in November 2017. On 28, International Ulema Conference had resulted in 9 agreements put into Lombok message. World Organization for Al-Azhar graduates in Indonesia, Mukhlis Hanafi said, the conference held in Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara on July 27 to 28, made Wasatiyah Islam or Middle Way Islam in the Ahlus Sunnah, while Jama'ah perspective as a method in facing extremism and terrorism. The 9 agreement included Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah are those who commit to follow Prophet Muhammad's teaching, and sectarianism, racism, discrimination in any form is the opposite of middle way Islam and must be fought in any possible ways. The conference was joined by international ulemas and Islamic figures from 21 countries.
Voice of Indonesia.
Let's move on to August. August 4th, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi brought Indonesian Indo-Pacific concept in Asian Foreign Ministerial Meeting during the 8th Asia High-Level Conference in Singapore. Indonesian government offered a point of view towards the Indo-Pacific, which is directed to maritime cooperation increase, connectivity, and sustainable development agenda. Indonesian concept of Indo-Pacific aims to give added value for the available Asian cooperation mechanism, especially to strengthen East Asia High-Level Conference. On the same day, Minister Retno held a bilateral meeting with the U.S. State Secretary Michael Richard Pompeo in Jakarta. In the meeting, Minister Retno said that many sides, including Indonesia, appreciated the positive move taken by North Korea and U.S. to realize the denuclearization of Korean Peninsula. We talk about North Korea issue, but actually about denuclearization of Korean Peninsula. This always appears in every Asian meetings. There are many elements, such as good welcome from all stakeholders towards positive moves, which include inter-Korean meeting and the meeting of President Trump and Chairman Kim in Singapore. On August 5th, President Joko Widodo was accompanied by First Lady Iriana and Vice President Yusuf Kala and Mufidah Yusuf Kala in the Poco Poco Dance Competition at Monas Square, Jakarta. The biggest Poco Poco Dance Competition involved 65,000 participants from various institutions, such as National Army, National Police, Ministries, and state institutions. The competition broke the Guinness World of Records as the greatest Poco Poco Dance in the world. On the same day, President Joko Widodo offered diversity and tolerance themed cooperation to U.S., as said to U.S. State Secretary Michael Richard Pompeo at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. The president said, Indonesia is the biggest country in Southeast Asia, with the most Muslim population in the world. The president also said Indonesia and many other countries are still facing challenges in maintaining the diversity.
Tantangan yang dihadapi oleh semua bangsa saat ini adalah bagaimana memelihara keragaman.
Challenges faced by all countries now are how to maintain diversity by respecting each other. Diversity and tolerance are what I am promoting until now. Still on August 5th, Head of National Disaster Mitigation Agency Data, Information and Public Relations Center, Sutopo Purwonugroho, reported 7 Richter scale earthquake widely impacted West Nusa Tenggara on 6.45 p.m. local time. More than 6,000 people died, hundreds of other wounded, and thousands houses damaged. Sutopo said the worst hit areas are North Lombok Regency, East Lombok, and Mataram City. On August 10, President and Vice President candidate to be Joko Widodo's Ma'ruf Amin submitted their registration at General Election Commission. They are supported by Golkar Party, Hanura Party, National Awakening Party, United Development Party, National Democrat Party, Indonesian Solidarity Party, United Indonesia Party, and Indonesian Justice and Unity Party. Meanwhile, the pairs of candidates for President and Vice President Prabowo Subianto Sandiaga Uno are officially supported by Prosperous Justice Party, National Mandate Party, and Democrat Party. On August 18, President Joko Widodo opened the 18 Asian Games 2018 at Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, Senayan, Jakarta. The president said, through Asian Games 2018, Asian countries wanted to show that they are brothers and sisters. The Asian Games was joined by 16,000 athletes and was held in Jakarta in Palembang, South Sumatra, on August 18 to September 2nd. As the host, Indonesia deployed 1,388 people, consisting 938 athletes and 396 officials, to join 40 sports. On August 26, Indonesian Defense Minister Riami Satriakudu affirmed Indonesia is committed to maintaining world peace by developing state defense architecture for security and peace stability, as well as by increasing welfare in the region. That was stated by Minister Riami Satriakudu during an honorary visit to U.S. Defense Minister James Mattis in Washington, D.C. On August 30, Indonesia and Namibia agreed to fight illegal fishing in both countries' waters. That was stated by President Joko Widodo during a joint press statement with Namibian President Hage Geingob Gottfried at Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java. Both countries agreed to develop cooperation in maritime and fisheries. At the opportunity, both countries' cooperation was signed and witnessed directly by both countries' leaders. On August 31st, President Joko Widodo, in a joint press statement with newly appointed Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison at Bogor Palace, West Java, said that Indonesia and Australia agreed to strengthen both countries' bilateral relations. According to President Joko Widodo, the first state visit of Prime Minister Scott Morrison to Indonesia showed the commitment of the new Australian government to keep developing strong relations with mutual respect and interest.
Voice of Indonesia.
Moving on to September. On September 6, Vice President Yusuf Kala received Congo Deputy Prime Minister Leonard Se Okitundu Lundula in Jakarta to discuss relationship strengthening. Vice President Yusuf Kala said that was the first visit of Congo high officials to Indonesia, although the two countries have established relations for more than 56 years. Deputy Prime Minister Lundula said Congo is interested in opening cooperation with Indonesia, such as economy, environment and diplomacy. Cooperation signing was done by both countries' foreign ministers. At the same day, Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, during the opening of second senior official meetings of archipelagic and island states, emphasized the need of those states to unite and take concrete steps against environmental issues. The meeting discussed plastic waste, blue economy development, adaptations towards climate change, good governance, disaster mitigation, sustainable fishery and economic growth. Indonesian Maritime Coordinating Ministry with United Nations Development Program had the second meeting in Jakarta on September 6 to 8. On September 7, seventh Ministerial Conference of Bali process was officially begun, attended by 26 ministers and ministerial-level officials from 45 member countries and three international organizations. The 15th Bali process was a forum initiated by Indonesia and Australia against human smuggling and trafficking in the region. On September 28, 7.4 Richter scale earthquake with tsunami hit Donggala, Central Sulawesi on 06:02 p.m. local time, located 27 kilometers northeast of Donggala with 10 kilometers depth. Head of National Disaster Mitigation Agency Data Information and Public Relations Center, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said the most casualties were caused by the earthquake.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, now we move on to October. On October 5, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a meeting with New Zealand's Deputy Prime Minister as well as Foreign Minister Winston Peters in Jakarta. Minister Retno, in a joint press statement with Minister Peters, said the two countries agreed to increase cooperation of comprehensive partnership through action plan and to increase the trade value worth 2.56 billion New Zealand dollar by 2024. On October 6, President Joko Widodo officially opened the Asian Para Games 2018. The event was held on October 6 to 13 and participated in by 2,800 athletes from 43 countries. On October 7, in his remark during the opening of National 27th MTK in Medan, North Sumatra, President Joko Widodo reminded that Islam is a blessing for the universe and goodness for Indonesia. Therefore, the Ummah should maintain unity and harmony. The National MTK, held on October 7 to 12, was joined by 1,550 participants from 34 provinces. On October 8, during the opening of IMF World Bank's plenary session in Bali, President Joko Widodo associated current global economic situation with the Game of Thrones, where there is hunt for influence and power. The president then asked the global fiscal and monetary policy maker to make policies which can prevent trade war, technological disruption, and market uncertainty. the IMF World Bank was held on October 8 to 14. On October 13, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, with her Palestinian counterpart Riyad al-Maliki and Mayor of Bandung City Odette M. Daniel, inaugurated Palestine Walk Road to Freedom, a 100-meter-long park at Alun-Alun Timur Street, Bandung, West Java. On October 20, National Disaster Mitigation Agency's Information Data and Public Relations Center head Sutopo Purwonugroho said that the earthquake and tsunami in central Sulawesi on September 28 killed 2,113 people, 1,309 lost, 4,612 wounded, and 223,751 took refuge at 122 spots. Sutopo added, the emergency status in central Sulawesi was applied until October 26. Let's move on to October 22. 300 delegates from 30 countries discussed bee and honey development in Asia during the 14th Asian Apicultural Conference. In Jakarta on October 22 to 25, Secretary General of Indonesian Apicultural Association, Mashud, hoped the conference could allow information exchange and technological advancement and latest researches in Asian apiculture. On the same day, President Joko Widodo received Saudi Arabian Foreign Minister Adel bin Ahmad Al Jubeir at Bogor Palace, West Java. In the meeting, President Joko Widodo expressed his concern on the death of Jamal Khashoggi and hoped the investigation could be done transparently and truthfully. October 24, President Joko Widodo, when opening the 33rd Trade Expo Indonesia in Tangerang, Banten, reminded the business people to take the opportunity when the world experiences trade war. He added, Indonesian business people also need to expand the market into non-traditional markets such as South Asia, Russia, Africa, Middle East, Turkey, Pakistan, and South America. In the evening, President Joko Widodo opened the International Young Muslim Women Forum, held by Nahdlatul Ulama's Fatayat Forum in Jakarta, October 25 to 28. On the same day, Yogyakarta was named as ASEAN Cultural City. This inauguration was in line with Yogyakarta being the location of the 8th ASEAN Ministerial Meeting on Culture and 14th ASEAN Senior Official Meeting on Culture on October 21 to 26. While on October 28 to 31, Indonesia held the 18th Indonesian Language Congress in Jakarta, themed Bringing Glory for Indonesian Language and Literature. The Congress was joined by 27 key speakers and 72 selected speakers from Indonesia and abroad. On October 29 and 30, Indonesia hosted the Our Ocean Conference 2018 in Nusa Dua, Bali. The conference chaired jointly by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti was officially opened by President Joko Widodo. On October 29, Lion Air JT610 crashed after departing from Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Tangerang, Banten. All 188 passengers and crews died in the incident.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, now we move on to November. President Joko Widodo and German Economy and Energy Minister Peter Altmaier held a discussion about Industrial Revolution 4.0 and vocational education at the State Palace in Jakarta on November the 1st. On November 3rd, Indonesia International Tail Festival 2018 was held at National Museum in Jakarta on November 3 to 4. 40 storytellers, including those from Italy and the Philippines, took part in the festival. On the same day, Tour de Singkarak 2018 was officially opened and Bukit Tinggi became the start for the first stage. The event was held on November 4 to 11 and its route was 1,267 kilometers, passing through 16 regencies and cities in West Sumatra. On November 6 to 8, Indonesia hosted the 5th Global Health Security Agenda in Nusa Dua, Bali. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, said that health development is the most important pillar of national security. On the same day, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, and Australian Home Minister, Hon Peter Dutton, led a meeting of 9 countries discussing about the fight against terrorism in the sub-region. The meeting was held in Jakarta, involving representatives from Indonesia, Australia, Brunei Darussalam, the Philippines, Malaysia, Myanmar, New Zealand, Singapore, and Thailand. Moving on to November 7, Vice President Yusuf Kalla opened the Indo-Defense Expo and Forum, an exhibition and forum on national main weaponry system in Jakarta. The event was joined by 867 weaponry system companies from 60 countries. On November 7 and 8, Indonesia hosted the World Creative Economy Conference, which resulted in 21 points agreed by delegates from 36 countries. The 21 points were based on 4 factors, namely collaboration and collectivity, support to ecosystem development, celebration, promotion, and empowerment for the goals of sustainable development, cultural heritage, and diversity, as well as the next conference in United Arab Emirates in 2020. On November 13, President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana attended the 33rd ASEAN Summit at Suntec Convention Center, Singapore. During his speech at the plenary session, the President called for ASEAN countries to join a solution for human crisis in Rakhine State, Myanmar. On November 15, Minister of Defense Ria Mizar Yaqudu and Malaysian Defense Minister Haji Muhammad bin Sabu discussed border cooperation during the 41st Malaysia-Indonesia General Border Committee session in Kuta, Bali. Meanwhile, on November 17, President Joko Widodo attended the APEC Summit in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea. APEC leaders were expected to aid Pacific countries in facing climate change and maritime issues. On November 21 and 22, the first meeting of OIC member countries' drug authorities was held in Jakarta. The meeting resulted in Jakarta Declaration, which includes standard harmonization toward drug and vaccine independence for OIC member countries, especially the underdeveloped ones.
Voice of Indonesia.
Moving on to December. On December 2nd, Indonesian Public Works and People's Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono said the government is developing the 3,500-kilometer Trans-Papua and West Papua Road and 1,100-kilometer Border Road. Besides that, President Joko Widodo said 35 bridges would be built along Trans-Papua from Wamena to Mamugu. On December 4 and 5, Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) commemorated the World Anti-Corruption Day, which falls every December 9. Indonesian President Joko Widodo in Jakarta affirmed the effort of corruption eradication by the Commission must be a joint movement done by KPK, government, and people. On December 6 and 7, Indonesian government held the 11th Bali Democracy Forum 2018 in Nusa Dua, Bali, themed Democracy for Prosperity. The main goal of the forum was to provide platform for sharing experience between state actors and stakeholders who relevantly understand challenges in ensuring prosperity bringing democracy. The Bali Democracy Forum this year held Second Bali Democracy Students Conference joined by 150 students from Indonesia and other countries. For the first time, Bali Civil Community and Media Forum was held in parallel with the 11th Bali Democracy Forum and the Second Bali Democracy Student Conference. This was aimed to optimize civil people and media participation, considering their role as an agent of prosperity. On December 10, Indonesian National Commission on Human Rights, Komnas HAM, commemorated the International Human Rights Day. During the commemoration, Komnas HAM demanded the government to solve some heavy human rights violation cases in the past. Listener, that was 2018 Kaleidoscope. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a segment featuring information about Indonesian arts, culinary, culture, and tourism. In today's edition, we will take you to visit Serambang Waterfall in East Java. Stay tuned. Listener, East Java is home to various tourism attractions. There are many tourism destinations in this province. One of them is Serambang Waterfall, located on the slope of Mount Lawu, Grimulyo Village, Jogorogo Sub-District, Ngawi Regency, East Java. The object is located in the middle of pine forest managed by Lawu Forest Management. It is located 40 kilometers from the center of Ngawi. Listener, reaching Jogorogo Sub-District, Ngawi Regency, is easier. The region can be accessed from two directions, namely from Madiun Ngawi Jogorogo and Sragen Ngawi Jogorogo, as Mount Lawu is the border between East and West Java. When visitors arrive in Jogorogo Sub-District, they can still take private or public transportations, because the road has been paved. However, in order to get to the waterfall, visitors must pass unpaved road. Listeners, visitors can do a lot of activities in Serambang Waterfall, such as strolling while enjoying the beauty of the scenery, enjoying the sensation of the waterfall, and taking photos at various photo spots. Taking a bath in Serambang Waterfall relaxes our body and mind. People believe that taking a bath in Serambang Waterfall can rejuvenate our skin and prevent us from aging. Listener, you must buy the entrance ticket first in order to enter the Serambang Waterfall. The ticket costs 15,000 rupiah per person. By paying for the ticket, visitors can enjoy the incredible panorama and various facilities provided by the management. The waterfall opens at 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Visitors need to pay attention of a number of things so that their holiday experiences will be impressive. First, visitors are suggested not to visit the waterfall during rainy season due to safety reasons, for example, landslide. Next, if you want to stay in the tourism object longer, you can search for hotels near the Serambang Waterfall Tourism Area. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today about Serambang Waterfall. If you have not decided a place to visit for your holiday, Serambang Waterfall would be a perfect choice. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. See you on our next edition with other interesting topics. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is Area Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment which brings you information about various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, technology and lifestyle, and also about environment. In this edition, I will inform you about the Kereta Api Jali Literacy Event. So stay tuned in to Area Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Since 2016, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture has launched the School Literacy Movement with the aim of increasing students' ability to understand information analytically, critically, and reflectively. Literacy skills are now found in various forms, ranging from visual literacy, digital literacy, cultural literacy, to Al-Quran literacy. And to support the school literacy movement, every school competes to improve students' literacy skills. One of them was Tulawi Elementary School, which held a literacy party or event called Kereta Api Jali as a form of their contribution in supporting the school literacy movement. Kereta Api Jali, which stands for Indonesian words Kreativitas Anak Pintar Jago Literasi or Literacy Smart Children's Creativity Event, was held on Saturday, December the 22nd, starting at 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. This activity was organized by Indonesian Literacy School volunteer consultants in collaboration with awardees of Bakti Nusa Dompet Duafa and teachers at the school, and it was packaged in the form of simple and inspirational outbound activities involving all students so that they can participate directly. Grades 1 and 2 students took part in the coloring competition or visual literacy competition. Students in grade 3 and 4 took part in poetry reading competition to realize a branch of literary literacy, while grades 5 and 6 participated in quiz competition as a manifestation of scientific literacy. After the 3 competitions were finished, then continued with Inspiration Outbound carried out on the schoolyard. Students and teachers of the Tolowi Elementary School were very enthusiastic to participate because this activity was the first ever held there. One model teacher from the school, Salama, hopes that literacy activity like this can be held again because this activity can be a place to find talented students and build students' creativity and train them to participate and dare to appear or to perform. That was Miscellany today informing you about the Kereta Api Jali Literacy Event. We will meet again in the next edition of Miscellany tomorrow. Bye now!
meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present you songs from Aditya Sofyan. To initiate our segment, let's listen to a song entitled Pesan di Balik Awan or Messages Behind the Clouds. Stay tuned.
Kutuliskan cerita pada bentang hitam langit malam, terbisikkan dalam diam, sampaikah padanya. Ku sampaikan berita tentang tanya lama yang tersimpan, ku kirimkan jelang pejam, sampaikah di sana. Sudahkah kau membacanya, pesan di balik awan? Karena bila pagi tiba, ia terhapus hujan. Ku menunggu jawabnya dalam lingkar masa tak bertepi, lagu-lagu dinyanyikan menjadi saksinya. Sudahkah kau membacanya, pesan di balik awan? Pagi tiba, ia terhapus hujan.
Listener, that was a song entitled Pesan di Balik Awan or Messages Behind the Clouds by Aditya Sofya. It's Aditya Sofyan's new song released on November 2018. The song was the first single to be released before the release of his album entitled Chronicles of You. According to Aditya Sofyan, the song Pesan di Balik Awan is the key to help his fans understand the concept of his upcoming album. The song Pesan di Balik Awan was composed by Aditya Sofyan himself. The lyrics tell about Wu expresses his emotions as if his messages soar above the clouds. He hopes that his messages will be delivered to someone. Besides writing the lyrics and making the arrangement, Aditya Sofyan also played piano in the song. Listener, let's listen to a next song entitled Sesuatu di Jogja or Something in Jogja. Happy listening!
Cantik, coba kau catat. Keretaku tiba pukul 4 sore. Tak usah kau tanya, aku ceritakan nanti. Hei cantik, kemana saja? Tak ada berita, sedikit cerita. Tak ku baca lagi pesan di ujung. Jakarta muram kehilanganmu, terang lampu kota tak lagi sama. Sudah saatnya kau tengok puing yang tertinggal. Sampai kapan akan selalu berlari, hingga kini masih selalu ku nanti. Bawa lagi langkahku ke sana. Mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Hei cantik, bawa aku jalan. Jalan kaki saja menyusuri kota. Ceritakan semua ceritamu padaku. Jakarta diam kehilanganmu. Bau wangi hujan tak lagi sama. Sudah saatnya kau jemput musik yang tertinggal. Sampai kapan aku kan bernyanyi sendiri. Hingga kini masih selalu menanti. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana. Mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Ingat waktu itu ku bertanya, aku mau dengar jawabnya. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana. Mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja.
Listener, you have just listened to another song by Aditya Sofyan entitled Sesuatu di Jogja or Something in Jogja. Through this song, Aditya Sofyan wants to convey his special impression about Jogja, a name of city in Indonesia. When composing Sesuatu di Jogja, Aditya Sofyan admitted that he does not know why he always wants to return back to Yogyakarta. Aditya also quoted one of the parts in Kla Project's song entitled Yogyakarta, which also tells about the longing for a return to Yogyakarta. Most of Aditya Sofyan's songs are accompanied by guitar instrument. However, Aditya's music is not only limited to acoustic one. He also produces songs in other genres such as jazz, folk, and pop. Aditya composed an instrumental song without lyrics called I Won't Go to Bed, which is thought to be an ambient music. Well, listener, that was Music Corner for today. To wrap up our segment, let's listen to two songs from Aditya Sofyan entitled Secret Code and September. I'm Patricia Fitriadela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Song is a secret code, it's an event of emergency. I'm sending this message out to you. The song is a secret code, it's an event of catastrophe. I'm sending this message out to you. But the world can never see, they can never hear, they won't understand. This one's just for you.
Opening transmission.
I think I'm in love with you. I think I'm falling helplessly, helplessly for you. I think I have fallen for you. I think I'm falling hopelessly, hopelessly for you.
Sending second transmission. Everybody stand by.
This song is a secret code, it's an event of apocalypse. I'm sending this message out to you. This song is a secret code, it's an event of an outbreak. I'm sending this SOS. Now the world can never hear, 'cause this can start a war. Bloodbath will be shed, so keep this to yourself.
Transmission.
I think I'm in love with you. I think I'm falling helplessly, helplessly for you. And I think I have fallen for you. I think I'm falling hopelessly, hopelessly for you.
for you. I think I'm in love with you. I think I'm falling helplessly, helplessly for you. And I think I have fallen for you. I think I'm falling hopelessly, hopelessly for you.
Voice of Indonesia.
I met you in the city of the fall, one September night. We sat down on a table near the wall. Our conversation flows. I wonder if I could stay for a while. You see, it's been a while since I felt this way, but we both know time is closing in till I'll be gone. On that night I saw you walked away. I left you in the city of the light, that reset September night. We walked down the road to the end. I wish the time stood still. Still I wonder if I could stay for a while. You see, it's been a while since I felt this way, but we both know time is closing in till I'll be gone. You'll be too. On that night I saw you walked away. It's been a while since I felt this way, but we both know time is closing in till I'll be gone and you'll be too. So I should stay for a while. See, it's been a while since I felt this way, but we both know time is closing in till I'll be gone. You'll be too. On the night I let you walk away. I met you in the city of the fall, one September night.
ku tuliskan cerita pada bentang hitam langit malam. Terbisikkan dalam diam, sampaikah padanya. Ku sampaikan berita tentang tanya lama yang tersimpan. Ku kirimkan jelang pejam, sampaikah di sana. Sudahkah kau membacanya, pesan di balik awan? Karena bila pagi tiba, ia terhapus hujan. Ku menunggu jawabnya dalam lingkar masa tak bertepi. Lagu-lagu dinyanyikan menjadi saksi.